Welcome to God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon R.P. Church in Morningsun, Iowa. Check us out online at www.sharonrpc.org. We pray that this message will be a blessing to you and that the Lord will use it to transform your faith and your life.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we pray that as we work through your word, as we think about it, Father, we pray that you might teach us. Father, we pray that you might let this word dwell in our hearts. Father, we pray that we would bring you glory as we think through it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's the second of the year, as I was reminded earlier. And there's something I hadn't forgotten. I just forgot today's specific date. But it is the beginning of a new year, and we don't follow a liturgical calendar, but I spend at least 1 week every year. I only get to preach to you somewhere around 52 times a year, and I make sure at least one of those is encouraging you to be in God's Word. And so today is that sermon. But maybe you found yourself, you're like, well, I remember those sermons in the years past, but I didn't do so great of a job at it this year. Well, I'm just here like a coach telling you, it's all right, come on, we can do it again, let's go, come on, you got this. And so first, I want to look at this text today, and I want to ask you a series of different questions that you can ask yourself and be honest with yourself about. And the first question is, how do I feel about God's Word? Ask yourself honestly, how do you feel about God's Word? I have a feeling, there's probably a spectrum in here. Some of you are right on board, yeah, I love reading God's Word. Others of you are more honest with yourself, and you think, right now, it's really hard. What does the psalmist say here? Look with me at how he starts this section of the psalm. Psalm 90, or 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. This portion of the psalm starts off with his affections toward God's Word, how he feels about the Lord's Word. So the question we have to ask is, well, do you love God? And if so, do you love His Word? Not everybody's going to be convinced by that line of reasoning, though. You might say, well, I don't know if I have to love God's Word. I could just love God. There's people I meet like that all the time. As I interact with people in the community, there's all sorts of people who say, oh yeah, I love God. And so I'll start talking to them about the Word and come to find out that they'll say, yeah, but I don't need to read my Bible. Well, hold on. These two go side by side, but you might say, I'm not sure that's necessarily true. Well, let me ask you, can you truly love your spouse without talking to them? Now, a lot of marriages happen where just one person talks and the other person doesn't listen at all. Other marriages happen where both people are just talking all the time and nobody's actually listening. But a healthy relationship looks like true communication, speaking with one another. One person speaks, the other person deeply listens. And this is indeed the relationship we have with God. When we come to God, to His Word, this is God Himself speaking. This is what the book of 2 Timothy says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God has breathed it out. God has spoken His Word. So we listen. We hear God's Word. We take it in. And in response, what do? We pray. And God listens to us. This is a two-way conversation. The Lord speaks through His Word, and we speak to Him through prayer. This is how language talks about God and His Word. And this shouldn't be anything unfamiliar to us. I mean, think about communication with love. Think about how many songs are about love. I mean, you can express your love to people in a myriad of different ways. If you ever read Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, you know, there's a myriad of different ways that you could show people you love them. You can do things for them. You can give them gifts, et cetera, et cetera. You can spend time with them. But I know a whole lot of people, a whole lot of children who have been desperate to hear their father say, I love you and I'm proud of you. How many wives languish because their husbands might do lots of nice things, but they never utter the words to them, "I love you." They might feel like they're serving them. They might work hard for their family, but at the end of the day, they don't talk to them. And what's one of the ways that will rip apart a relationship faster than anything else in a marriage? Have you ever seen people give each other the silent treatment? What happens to a language when one spouse just stops listening or stops speaking? It destroys the relationship. And yet, this often is what happens when we come to God's Word. We think that, oh, I can have this great relationship with the Lord, all the while our Bibles stay closed and it gathers dust on the shelf. And then we wonder, where has the Lord gone? Why don't I feel like I love the Lord anymore? Well, the Lord's still been speaking. He's right there in His Word. I'll never forget when Olivia and I were courting or dating one another. She was living in Hawaii and I was living in Southern California. And this was the day of flip phones, and you only had certain times you can call when it was free and stuff like that. And Olivia was a couple hours behind me, and she was a nanny, and she gave me a cell phone because we were both on the same carrier, so we could have unlimited minutes Verizon to Verizon. And so I carried around two cell phones, my Olivia cell phone and my normal cell phone. But Olivia only got time when it was about 9 o'clock her time in the evening, which meant it was midnight in California. So she would pick up the phone sometime between 9 o'clock p.m. there and 11 o'clock p.m. there, and she would call me. But I was so desperate and so in love with her that my family made fun of me, because if that ringtone went off, I would, whatever I was doing, if I was sleeping, if I was working, whatever, I would put everything down and I would want to go talk to Olivia. I want to go hear from the person I loved. Here the psalmist says, "Oh, how I love your law." Do you love God? Do you love God's Word? Honest question. If you have a piece of paper, seriously write down your answer. How do I feel about God's Word? Be honest with yourself. Has your love for God been growing cold? This is one of the clear ways in the book of Ephesus, or in the book of Revelation. John is receiving this revelation and is writing to the seven different churches. And it's interesting, the church in Ephesus. We just spent a whole year in the book of Ephesians. And you read the book of Ephesians and you think, man, this must have been a go-getting church. They must have been great. Well, the reality is that a lot of parts, they were great. What did God say, right? You hate the sins of the Nicolaitans. You don't like those sexually immoral people who are going about and doing all these things. That's awesome, but one thing I have against you. You've forgotten your first love. Do you remember the times in which your heart was stirred up for God when you loved Him? What happened? Did His love for you dwindle or go away? No. No, if your soul is parched, go to His Word. Search Him out. Hear from Him. How do you rekindle your love for God? The same way I would counsel people if they came into our office. If when Olivia and I do marriage counseling, this is often one of the things we say to people: you got to start dating your spouse again. You need to become genuinely interested in what that other person has to say and what they like to do and who they are. You need to want to go spend time with that person and recultivate communication with them. If your heart has been growing cold towards God, go back to His Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. When we talk to people about this in the office, counseling people, I'll often say things like, if you're going to have dinner, put down the cell phone. Right, turn off the TV and actually communicate with that person. Invest time in that relationship. When we love God, we end up loving His Word. Look with me at verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The psalmist starts with saying he loves God's law. And he describes how much he loves it. It's like honey to his mouth. the sweetest thing he could imagine. And it gives him or her a dopamine response. You know, it's encouraging to them. It's comforting to them. It's sweet to them in their mouths. Is God's word sweet to you? Again, I'm asking you the question, how do you feel about God's word? Do you love God's word? Do you enjoy it? Do you spend time cultivating your taste for it? Now, some of you are honestly going to say, but I've tried. All right, I've tried. And I just can't get into it. See, this is often the thing that people will think when they come to the Scriptures. They'll think that it's like going to an ice cream shop and you can just order the sweetest ice cream and it's there. But that's not how this works. Sometimes when you come to the Scriptures, oftentimes when you come to the Scriptures, it's not like going to the sweet shop, but it's like going down into the mine. It's like delving deep into God's Word and working hard to find that jewel. Some of you might say, well, I once was like that. I once loved God's Word, but I don't feel that way now. Have you told the Lord that? Do you recognize that that's what's going on in your heart? If so, confess it to the Lord and go back. Return to your first love. Some of you might say, to be honest with you, Pastor, I'm just not a big reader. I don't really read well. That's fine. Open up your phone. You're more than welcome to do it right now. Just don't go to Facebook or something. Open up your phone. Go to the App Store and download the app YouVersion. Type in your favorite translation. And at the very bottom of the page is going to be a play button. And you can play the audio. And you can follow along. It's free. Listen to it. Listen to it. Get it in. There's a member in our congregation who sits in a dark room all the time, and he has an audio version of the Bible, and he listens through the Bible typically about 4 times every year. And when I ask him, how's your Bible reading been going? Well, he says, well, I haven't read it, but I've been listening to it. And he'll start talking to me about stuff from Zephaniah over here, or this really obscure thing from, you know, Obadiah or something over here. And then he'll be saying, oh, well, I was listening to the book of Acts, and this caught my attention. What do you think about this? Because he's getting it in. Are you getting it in? Newsflash. When this was written, the Torah scroll only existed in the synagogue or in the tabernacle, or sorry, in the temple. It didn't have the printed page. Most people got it by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So listen to it. Some of you might say, well, I just don't have time. Some of you are busy. Some of you have chores to do. Some of you have kids to take care of. Some of you have jobs that are time demanding. Some of you are students and you're studying and studying and studying. Okay, great. How would your spouse feel if you said, you know, I just don't have time to listen to you. I'm a little bit too busy with my work. This is the picture that God gives of him as the groom and the church as the bride. Do we listen to him? Make time. Be purposeful about spending time with the Lord. Block it out in your schedule. You might need to wake up early, and when the kids wake up, maybe that's the time that they get entertained by a good movie. You just say, hey, you know what? Mom's doing her devotions. You can go over here for half an hour. I need to spend time with the Lord. That's okay. And some days it's going to be easy. And some days it's going to be incredibly difficult. So is marriage. And that's okay. That's okay. But what's the result? All right, great, fine. I get it, Pastor. You're just browbeating me here. I get it. You beat the dead horse. I should be loving God and loving His Word. But what good is there for me? Second question. What is the result of loving God's Word? Well, as we love God's Word, one of the things that's going to happen as He cultivates a love for His Word in our hearts, we end up meditating on it. Look with me at verse 97 again. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. This word here, meditation, interestingly, is not the normal Hebrew word for meditation, but it's only used 3 times, twice here in this specific psalm and also in the book of Job. But when the Greek translators picked this up, they used the word meditation. Sometimes it's helpful to have another language and tell us what a word meant. But this is the same word that Jesus used in Mark chapter 13, verse 11. In Mark chapter 13, verse 11 and 12, listen to what Jesus told his disciples. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? Jesus is saying, hey, people are going to arrest you. They're going to throw you in prison. And what's the natural thing that's going to happen is you're sitting in a cold, damp jail cell and you don't know what's going to happen. Are you going to get flogged? Are you going to get fined? Are you going to get killed? What would you be thinking about as you're sitting in your jail cell, as you're being led with your hands tied behind your back? What would be going through your mind? What am I going to say? How am I going to get out of this? Am I going to be really bold for Jesus Christ? Am I going to use strong words? Or maybe that might make the judge mad. Maybe I'll try to be more diplomatic and nice. And what is Jesus saying here? Don't do that. Don't think about it. Don't mull it over in your mind. Don't pull it apart. And if this happens, then this. And if I use this tone, maybe it'll perceive it this way and blah, and all that. So Jesus uses it in a negative sense there. Don't premeditate on this. Don't think about this. Don't stir it over in your heart. But here, this word is used positively. Instead of all that anxiety and worrying and stirring up in your heart, you know what you should be working through in your mind? God's law. It is my meditation all the day. Working it over in your heart, thinking about it in your mind. Why does God use this word? What is this implication? How does this apply to my life? What does this teach me? What does this call me to do? This word meditating is not the idea of, you know, you don't have to go very far down the road to find a shrine to this, right? It's not transcendental meditation. It's not, you know, emptying your mind of everything so that way God's word can come to you. No, that's not it. It's wrestling with God. Will you be like the patriarch who wrestled with the angel of the Lord? Will you go to him and will you wrestle with him? And I'm telling you, if you've never read through the scriptures, there are things that you just have to wrestle with. When we get back into the book of Joshua next week, there are things in the book of Joshua that are not easy. And we have to wrestle with them. I spent all this past week as Olivia and I, she was deeply discouraged by me because I thought, well, I'll do all the Song of Solomon in 1 week for coffee and devotions. This will be great. And then I found myself in my office buried in the books for about 6 hours a day studying the book of Song of Solomon, which was wonderful for me. But I had to wrestle with God's word to figure out, what does this mean? How does it apply? Who's talking? The Hebrew is confusing at places. And how does this work out? And every time I came out of my office, I couldn't stop smiling and talking about the beautiful things that I had found in God's Word. And I've read this Song of Solomon a dozen times. But it's like I couldn't stop thinking about it. God's Word means we meditate on it. So how do you use God's Word? How do you use God's Word? Well, we need to read it. We need to read God's Word. Blessed is the one who picks up this book and reads it. And we read God's Word. And I'm guilty of this. I'm sure some of you are too. Have you ever done your devotions before where you've picked up your Bible, you've read through a page or a chapter, and at the end of the chapter you went, I don't know what I just read. Have you ever been there? We've all been there. There are times where you have to discipline yourself and go back and reread and catch yourself and go, I didn't get that. I got to go back and I got to read it again. That's not a comment. Some of you are able to read, you know, 6, 7, 8 chapters at a time in the Bible. I have friends who do that and work through the Bible every 90 days. That's wonderful for them. If I did that, I would be dizzy. All right. But we read God's Word. God's Word, God's people have always been marked by being people who read His Word. Secondly, we listen to God's Word. How do we use God's Word? We listen to it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hear it. We sit under the preaching of it. We want to get it into our ears so it seeps down into our hearts. We listen to God's word. Husbands, I'm just going to say this to you, husbands and fathers. This is one of the primary obligations and blessings that God has given you. Ephesians chapter 5 says, right, Jesus is the husband of the church. The church is his bride. And then he goes on and talks about what Jesus does. Jesus washes us in the water of the word. Husbands, are you reading the Bible to your wife? Are you reading it to your children? Are you saturating your home with God's word? Thirdly, we memorize it. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 10, talk about how I have stored your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Are you putting God's word in your mind and deep down in your heart? Memorizing God's word is not just for Awana, but it's even for adults. It's studying God's word. Fourthly, how do you use God's word? You study God's word. This is one of the things I loved to do. Before I was a pastor, when I was just in school, or before that, when I was in the Navy, and or whatever job I had, if I was in the mental health field, whatever I was doing, I really enjoyed the Lord's Day. Because in the afternoon, there was time that I could study. I could pick up God's word, and I could pick up the books with it, and I could study, and I could work through questions that I had. Become curious about God's word. Ask questions of it. Why does God say it this way? What does God mean with this? I'd encourage you. I wish I had brought my Bible with me. I have a little journal Bible, and all in the big margins are like an inch and a half wide. I write questions all the time. I don't understand that. Question mark. And it signals me off that that's something to go and study at another time. Go study God's word. Fifthly, sing God's word. Sing God's word. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly as you admonish each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One of the best gifts somebody ever gave me when I first became a member in the Reformed Presbyterian Church is my friend Sam. He gave me 3 psalm CDs. I'm kind of dating myself here. There wasn't Bluetooth in cars and stuff like that yet. And so I just put those CDs in and I would just listen and listen and listen and listen and listen. And those psalms, which were so foreign to me that I just started singing in worship, ended up getting in my heart. One of the things I love now is when I'm washing dishes in the kitchen and I hear one of the kids singing a psalm. One of the best teaching things you can do is just pick a psalm. This is a challenge for you, right? Every month, pick one psalm and sing that psalm every day for the entire month. See if it sticks with you. I bet you it will stick faster than Chinese rice to the inside of the bowl. Sing one psalm every month. This is one of the reasons why we sing a doxology, the same doxology every single week. All someone has to do is strike up the right tune. And I bet you have the words in your head. Some of you husbands even have to joke with your wives. You don't need that book, right? You know the words. You know them because you've sung them. You've meditated on them. And again, some of you are going to have objections. I just don't like to. Work on your dislikes. Maybe you like things you shouldn't like. Have you ever had that before? I have been really struggling this past month. I'm on this whole mind shift thing when it comes to my diet and trying to not like sugary things and enjoy things like vegetables. And it was really, really, really hard. It's really hard to change things that you like and don't like. But it can be done. You can do it. You can cultivate in your heart a love for God's word. As an example of this, I don't like sauerkraut. I know that might be blasphemy amongst some of you, but I just do not. I grew up not liking it. I don't like it. And then as this whole shift has happened yesterday, Olivia made bratwurst and sauerkraut. And I found myself, somebody gave me a ho-ho. Oh, I love. Do you know what ho-hos are? You know, Swiss rolls if you go to Aldi. And I couldn't eat more than a bite of it. It was too sweet for me. But I loved the sauerkraut. And I thought, what type of human being have I become? This is not normal. But as you cultivate a taste in your mouth for God's word, it will become sweet to you. Some of you might say, well, I'm just not disciplined enough. Just start a little bit. I don't make huge overarching goals. Try for 5 minutes a day. Some of you are already at 5 minutes. Great. Try for 10. Some of you might say, well, I got that. I'm going to challenge you to try to do the whole Bible in a year. Can you give yourself 25 minutes a day? Maybe that might mean turning off the TV, getting off social media. Some of you say, well, I've tried that, Pastor, but I failed. Okay, get up. You can do it again. Don't quit. Just keep going. There's a whole slew of Bible reading plans on the back page or on the back wall there. There's a whole bunch of pages. Go pick one that works for your schedule. Be honest with yourself. You probably don't have all the time in the world. Pick a plan that you can actually stick to. It might mean that it takes you 3 years to get through the Bible. That's okay. Go read. Some of you might say, well, it just doesn't come natural. I'm sure, Brian, for you, it just comes naturally. But for me, it doesn't. That's a lie. Let me be perfectly clear. Doing your Bible reading is not natural. Nobody is born with the innate desire to go and to read God's word unless God has put that desire in their heart. It is an alien desire. It is something that God gives us from the outside, not something that you're born with. You have to cultivate this heart of love for God's word. This is why he had to command his people in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's foreign to us. He needs to tell us to do it. So don't be fooled by that whisper in your ear thinking this isn't just, you're not meant to do this. No, if we all followed our hearts like that, not a single person would ever read God's word. But it's a desire that the Lord gives us. Well, that's great, Brian, but you really never answer my question. What good is it for me? Or the last question, what do you think God's word does for you? What do you think God's word does for you? Look with me at verse 98. We're going to work through this last section quickly, but there is a great benefit and being in God's word. Verse 98. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. God's word makes us wise. God's word makes us wise. But what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what to do and then having the ability to actually pull it off. God uses his word to teach us. He uses his word to rebuke us. He uses his word to correct us. And he uses his word to train us up in righteousness that you may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God trains you by his word. He gives you both the intellectual knowledge of what to do and the heart to actually go follow it. Not by your heart of flesh, but by the new heart he's given you. When we read God's word, it gives us not just the raw data, but it also gives us the motivation. By God's Spirit, he works in your heart that you can do the things that he has taught you. See, it's not just enough to hear or even read God's word, but we are blessed if we are not just hearers of it, but doers of it. Psalm 119:98, you through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. You will have enemies and they will always be with you. Satan's never going to say, wow, ugh, man, I'm just going to throw up my hands. That dude's just too strong for me. No, I'm sorry, your adversary is always going to be lurking around the next corner. But the Lord's given you wisdom on how to defeat him. His word gives us understanding. Look with me at verses 99, 100, and 104. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. And then down to the bottom, verse 104. Through your precepts, I get understanding. God's word gives us understanding. In verse 100, the word ancients there in verse 100 is just people older than you. If you're following after God's word, if you're following after God's wisdom, you can have confidence that even when your professor says something and he says you're an idiot or says that this is bogus, you can stand up and you can say, no, hold on. I know what the master of the universe said. I'm going to follow him instead. They might have the greatest pedigrees. They might have the biggest PhDs you can imagine. But if you're following God's word, you can say, no, hold on. The one who created the mind, he's the one who teaches me. I can go after him. And I just got to say, I love this part. When those greater than you or those who are, I love it. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I absolutely love when you all correct me. I love it. I love when I say something dumb and you Bereans come to me and you say, Brian, that wasn't right. I love it. Great, you're smarter than your teachers if you're going to God's word. I'm your teaching elder, but if you go to God's word and he says, well, hold on, Brian, this ain't right, then guess who's wrong? I am. Because the Lord is always right. One of you just did this. I'm just going to throw Chris under the bus as the illustration. I didn't ask her if this was okay, but that's fine. You know, when I was preaching through the book of Ruth, she said, well, you know, Brian, that Ruth isn't, or sorry, Esther, she said, you know, Brian, Esther isn't actually Mordecai's niece, she's his cousin. And I thought, well, I have to think about that. And I went back through and she was right. I was wrong. I had been saying it for weeks. Mordecai, her uncle. Mordecai, her uncle. Mordecai, her uncle. And finally she came over to the house and she was just talking. She was like, I meant to ask you. I think he's actually his cousin, her cousin, not her uncle. And I was wrong. Do it all the time. I pray that you go to God's word and you prove your teacher wrong. I hope it doesn't happen all the time because that means I'm off God's word. But please, be wiser than your teachers. Have more understanding than even those who are old. Because God's word restrains us from evil. See, God's word makes us wise. It gives us understanding, but it also restrains us from evil. Look with me at verses 101 and 104. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. You know, God promises us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That we're able to bear any temptation that comes to us. It's common. Right? There is no temptation that has overcome you, but that which is common to man. But God is faithful, and when you are tempted, he will what? He'll provide a way of escape. He'll get you a way out. But when you are tempted, and it's the Lord who will endure us that we can bear up underneath it. How will you know the way out? When temptation comes and your flesh is burning and your mind is dead set on following this way of the world, how will you know where the way of escape is? How will you know how to run like Joseph and flee from Potiphar's wife? How will you know the way of escape? We go to God's word. And we find the boundary lines where he says, no, you shall not commit adultery. Get away from that woman. No, you shall not kill. You need to stop dealing with those people who are engaged in that stuff. No, you shall not commit or you shall not kill. I gotta stop with this violence. Right? When that temptation comes upon you, how will you endure it? And brothers and sisters, I'm going to warn you again. Satan is alive and active. We have to pray every single day. This is what Jesus tells us. Lead me not into temptation, but what? Deliver me from the evil one. How will you know how to wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and principalities of this air, against Satan himself? Where will you get an insight into Satan's playbook? How will you know how to outmaneuver the one who tricked our mother and father in the faith, Adam and Eve. Not just in the faith and blood. I'm no better than they are, and neither are you. So how will you get you out of Satan's claws? We go to his word. We go to his word and he teaches us. We go to his word and he instructs us. We go to his word and he encourages us. We go to his word and he corrects us. We go to his word and he rebukes us. We go to his word and he trains us for righteousness. Jesus Christ has given you everything you need that you might be thoroughly equipped, and he has given you his spirit to ensure it. It's not saying you're never going to sin, but you'll certainly have a leg up. And when you do sin, you'll know who to go to confess that sin and have your guilt wiped away. So let me ask you, are you going to walk out of this door? You're going to go home. And what are you going to do with this? Honestly, ask yourself, are you going to be like this person who wrote Psalm 119 who loved God's word? Or are you going to walk out of that door with your heart of stone? Are you going to devote yourself to, I'm going to love God. I'm going to show that love by being in his word. Or I pray that this might not be one of the evidences on that last great day, if you're an unbeliever, in which Christ will say, you knew better. I gave you my word. I gave you all the promises you could read. You had it at your fingertips. And you decided to cold your heart to me. Who will you be? I hope you'll be one who loves Christ. I hope you'll be one who goes and reads his word, who hears from your Savior, who loves God, and cultivates a life of obedience to him because you love Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you have given us the very words of life. We thank you for your word. God, we do confess that we are a fickle people. Lord, I confess to you that my heart is often hard. Lord, we pray that you would break out the stony places of our hearts. We pray that we would love you and love your word. God, please protect us from the evil one. Protect us from the temptations that would arise from within us to ignore your word. And Father, we pray that we would follow you. Fill us with your spirit, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from God's Word for You, a ministry of Sharon R.P. Church in rural Southeast Iowa. We pray that the message would be used by God to transform your faith and your life this week. If you'd like to get more information about us, feel free to go to the website, SharonRPC.org. We'd love to invite you to worship with us. Our worship time is 10 a.m. every Sunday at 25204 160th Avenue, Morning Sun, Iowa, 52640. May God richly bless you this week.